Welcome to another edition of Across the Pond NHL Sports Podcast. I'm Josh Brinkley. Co-hosting with me is Chris Blythe. And today we have a very special guest, Haley Simon. Hi, Haley.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Excited to be here.
Good, good. So Haley is a senior at West Virginia University, where she's majoring in sports journalism and minoring in foreign culture. She works for the WVU Broadcasting Sports on the college radio station and has in the past worked for CBS Sports. She presents Haley's Hot Takes podcast and has been since March 2020. She's a native of Philadelphia and such follows the Flyers. So Haley, how did you get into hockey?
Yeah, so I got into hockey actually growing up. My family is huge sports fans, and I would always get like dragged to the games. And then one day I was like, this is kind of interesting. And then ever since then, I kind of just was following the Flyers. And then that progressed to when Vegas had their expansion team. I then began following the Golden Knights as well. So I had my East team and I had my West team. And I just began watching like every single game of the Flyers and the Golden Knights, and just fell in love with the sport even more.
Oh, awesome. And for me, what made you want to work in sports media?
Yeah, so going to college, you know, there's a lot of options, and I'm not good at math or science or anything that involves thinking like that. And one thing that I did like a lot was sports, and I kind of was like, you know what? How cool would it be to talk sports for the rest of my life? So I just began to take classes that involved sports media, and I grew at the radio station and established myself as a sports broadcaster and kind of just found my passion.
Oh, very nice. So getting into the Flyers, what's your impression of them this year? What do you think their chances are for, you know, one, making the playoffs, two, advancing even, you know, maybe even to the Stanley Cup Finals? How do you think they're going to do this year?
Yeah, so I think the Flyers actually have a solid chance. I mean, because of COVID, a lot of players that were key on the Flyers were out, and still out is Travis Konecny, who is also a really vital player. But being said, I think the Flyers, they have a really good shot of making it further into the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. So what I said was 25% chance of them going to the Stanley Cup, and about a 15% chance of winning the Stanley Cup. And I say that because there's always hope, obviously, but the Flyers are just not strong enough of a team to be able to win and beat out some of these better teams. I mean, I think about the Flyers and how they are against the Bruins, and they haven't won one game out of the five against the Boston Bruins. So it's kind of like, how can they be one of those teams that you can confidently say will beat out the Golden Knights or the Avalanche or the Lightning? Like, it just, I don't see that happening.
So I got to say, so 25% chance. So I assume that you're saying that they're going to win their division and move on to the next round of the playoffs.
Right.
And then from there, it's a little up in the air.
Right. No, I still believe that they're going to win the division. I mean, well, okay, they can win the division if they begin beating the Bruins, but if they can't beat the Bruins, then I say that the division this year is going to go to the Capitals. So, small chance, but still a chance.
Still a chance, yeah. That's definitely a tough division to be in this year.
Yeah, it's one of the toughest divisions.
So, I've got to ask then, so who are your favorite non-Flyers and even Flyers players currently playing? So I know you said you like the Vegas Golden Knights. Anybody on that team, anybody even outside of those teams that are your favorites?
Yeah, so on the Golden Knights, I love Marc-Andre Fleury, who is the goalie. I actually have one of his jerseys. It's funny because he was on the Penguins before, and I hate the Penguins, but I've always liked him, like, secretly. And then when he went to the Golden Knights, I'm like, okay, people can now know I actually like him. So he is my favorite, all-time favorite in the NHL currently. I don't know. He just has a good personality. And besides that, he's also a great goaltender. So it's kind of like you have a mixture of both. And I like that. On the Flyers, it definitely has to be Travis Konecny. Travis Konecny, Kevin Hayes, Scott Laudon, G, there's a lot of players in the Flyers who I absolutely love. Provy, I like. I'm just like, I'm obsessed with the whole team. And it's really cool what the Flyers do, because besides how they actually play, they have like these behind the scene videos of them like before the games and then after the games. So it's like, you really get to see their personalities and you get to see how they interact. So it makes you kind of feel more connected to the team. But in terms of like talent, I would then have to say Alexander Ovechkin on the Capitals. I mean, when it comes to people that are absolute legends when it comes to hockey, there's no denying that Ovi is one of the best, and Sidney Crosby on the Penguins. And I mean, non-bias aside, because I don't like those teams, but as players, they're all really talented. So
funny, it might be worth noting, just we'll get the elephant out of the room, the Pittsburgh Penguins are probably my, they were the first team that got me into hockey, so I'm a Coyotes fan, but the Penguins were my team. But I don't mind the Flyers, you know, they're good. I haven't got the I'm not into the Pennsylvania rivalry as much as you guys, obviously.
And it's crazy how like insane it is, because I personally, even though I don't like the Penguins, I feel like we have bigger beef with the Bruins, and yeah. I don't get it, because the Flyers always beat the Penguins. But no, I'm joking. But no. But yeah, no, in the past it was the opposite, which is crazy. Like growing up, it was always the Penguins beating the Flyers, so whenever the Flyers were playing the Penguins, instantly everyone was like, yep, we're gonna lose by a lot, it's cool, next. So
yeah, swings and roundabouts. Slightly off sort of topic of current, you know, league stuff, you know, what's your best hockey film or sports film of all time, or do you have a best hockey film and a best sports film?
Well, that's a good question. So it's interesting though, right? Because as much as I'm into sports, it's like watching sports related movies is kind of like, not like it's weird for me, but it's like, I don't really watch as much movies and TV in general. I usually just are watching the games, but I like a lot of documentaries. And I guess you can say, even though this may not be a film, there is a movie about the Broad Street Bullies who showcased like Bernie Parent and the Flyers from the back in the days. And I thought that was really interesting. I like a lot of documentaries, but in terms of like a film, not hockey related, but I like The Blind Side. That was probably like one of the only films that wasn't like an actual documentary, but yeah, kind of, even though that was based on a true story, that I actually like liked. But I mean, I'm just obsessed with documentaries, and I know that the NHL has produced a couple documentaries, so I will always watch documentaries, but in terms of sports films itself, I'm not really that big of a movie / TV person, so has to be the classic Blind Side that I was forced to see back in the day.
I saw that on a flight about, must have been the year it came out, and I don't know what it is about flying, but I'm an emotional wreck on planes. And I watched that film, and by the end, I was like, oh God, this is lovely. Got dust in my eyes. And it's a great film, though.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. In terms of docs, they've got the, it's on Amazon, you've got the All or Nothing documentary series, and they've done the soccer team. I only saw it the other day. They're doing one about the Maple Leafs this season, aren't they? To be shown postseason. So that could be, yeah, I don't know if you've seen those documentaries, but that could be brilliant. It's kind of referring back to one of the podcasts you've actually done in the past, Hayley. I listened to one from about 2 weeks ago, and you gave your listeners a chance to either hear a story about Gritty or Carter Hart. And I think your listeners chose the Gritty story, but then you kind of left it hanging that the Carter Hart story was more interesting. So for our listeners, what's the Carter Hart story?
All right. So basically, back in 2017, I have my cat here. I was living back at home, and I was like one of those people on Instagram that like I would just follow any current Flyer prospects, because as soon as they got like onto the team, like I wanted to just be following them. I don't know, like it was just like one of those things, right? So Carter Hart was actually one of the prospects, and yeah, I followed him. And I didn't think like anything of it. I literally was just like, okay, like he's a potential goalie. He's on Team Canada right now, killing it. This is cool. If he goes in the Flyers, I can say like I was following his journey. So then about a couple months later, I get a DM from Carter Hart on Instagram, and it's like, what's your Snapchat? So I had him on Snapchat, and essentially I blocked him based off of some messages, which it's fine. And anyways, so flash forward to some time later, I'm watching ESPN with my dad, and all of a sudden it says Carter Hart signed with the Flyers. And my face went white as a ghost. I was like, no way. Cause like we have season tickets. So like where we sit is really close to where like the team comes out of the tunnel. And I'm like, I'm going to be like less than 100 feet away from Carter Hart, who I blocked, like we have beef low key. So whenever I go to a Flyers game or whenever he's mentioned, everyone's always like, hey, look, like it's Carter Hart. And it just became like a joke within the family. And now my friends who know about it, they're like, you blocked Carter Hart. So I love him. He's a great goalie, but that's all I can ask. So that's the Carter Hart story.
It's a very awkward, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I blocked Carter Hart, which is like weird to say, but it happens.
It's quite a cool thing to say. Yeah, it happens.
At least it's a fun story about it, right?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And like it's been so long ago since it happened that like currently like, but like I'll still go to the Flyers games and people like that I'll go with will be like, hey, look, it's Carter Hart. And I'm like, I know.
So, old news.
Yeah, but it's just like one of those like funny things that who would have known that the Flyers were going to sign him, and they did. And he's here.
Oh, so back on the hockey topic, who's your pick to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Okay, so my pick is the Vegas Golden Knights, and I know that it sounds a little bit biased, but I'll give you a really good explanation as into why. Okay, so looking at every single division currently right now, like, okay, East Division, I could really see it being like Capitals, but they're not strong enough to. And then in the North, the Leafs are the only team that's really doing that amazing. They're not going to be able to. And then looking at the Central, I mean, Panthers are doing really good right now, but they're not going to be able to be strong enough. So then we have to look at this West Division, and the Golden Knights are the only team that, maybe the Avalanche too, but the Golden Knights are the only team that I could see going against all the top teams in the other divisions and beating them out. So that's why I chose the Golden Knights, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Capitals somehow won. But I just, it's weird because the NHL, like they split up these teams into these four different divisions, and it's really weird because they only play the teams within their divisions. So it's like, how can you like, you know, look and be like,
it's hard to gauge, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's really hard. So looking at it, I'm kind of just like, okay, I could see this, but I could be completely wrong. And the Golden Knights could do absolutely horrible against all these other teams. And so I say Golden Knights. And then if that, my backup plan is the Capitals, which is like disgusting to say, but I'll say it. So.
I hear you. Like you said, hard to measure how each team would fare against the other divisions since they're only playing within the divisions. But yeah, I completely see that. Capitals have that veteran savvy presence. You know, it's hard to discount them because, they can go and get hot at any particular time.
Yeah, they definitely have the talent too, which the Golden Knights, I mean, the Golden Knights do have good players, but the Capitals have absolute legends with like, yeah, Ovi and TJ, and I could really see the Capitals, but again, I'm hoping it's the Golden Knights, but we shall see.
The thing with the Golden Knights as well, it's like you said, you know, everyone's split in their divisions, but I mean, me and Josh, obviously we support West Division teams, so we sort of know this division better than others, and I would say it's the toughest of all of them. I mean, you've got the three out of the top five, I'd say, teams in the NHL are all in that division. And yeah, if they can, I mean, they're top at the moment, aren't they? So if they can win that, that's a good kind of yardstick, I guess. So yeah, and it would just be quite a cool story for them to win as well. So I wouldn't begrudge it.
No, it really would be. But I actually really like the Avalanche. And I mean, You're from Colorado, so is that your team, the Avalanche?
Yeah, that is. Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, they've been doing pretty good. So I don't know. West, I didn't expect the West to be this competitive, to be honest at all. I really thought it was just going to be the East was going to be the only interesting division. And now I'm like bored of the East. So
yeah.
Hockey out in the West.
I swear it's okay. Back to sort of your podcast. I mentioned it earlier. Can you tell us about it? Sort of the frequency. What it's just you presenting, isn't it? Which
yeah.
blows my mind, to be honest, but fair play to you.
Yeah. So Haley's Hot Take, that really took off in March of 2020, kind of when the pandemic was going on. I broadcasted hockey at West Virginia for like the men's team. And when the pandemic hit, well, that went away. So I'm like, okay, cool. So it's like midway through hockey season. I have absolutely nothing to do. Why not begin a podcast? So I just began to kind of practice with myself. And I, one thing about me is I could talk by myself for hours. Like it's one of my like talents, I would say. I like to talk a lot. So I just kind of began like watching more hockey games from the past so I could just like, you know, get more knowledgeable. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to begin talking some hockey. So what ended up happening was I did an episode in March as like kind of like a practice episode and it went good, but I wasn't like so thrilled with it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the time from March up until when hockey begins again to really just expand on my vocabulary, expand on my knowledge and just practice. So at none of the episodes from March until I would say around July-ish were actually published.
Yeah.
So they were all just practice episodes I would do every single week just to practice my talking. So then back when hockey was announced that it was going to start back up again, I began to be like, okay, I'm going to publish these episodes. And every single Friday and Tuesday were my upload days. So it was kind of crazy because as bubble hockey was coming back, that's when I was really taking off of my podcast. So then flash forward to this season, I decided that doing every Friday and Tuesday was a little hard being a full-time student. And I decided to dedicate myself to just Fridays. And occasionally I'll give myself some breaks. So for instance, yesterday, I knew that I was going to film for this week yesterday because midterm week and I have to include some breaks is doing every single day of the year is kind of difficult. But it's one of those things where, I mean, I'll talk about the scores. I'll talk about, you know, different players and all that. And then I'll tell some stories or just like talk about some interesting things I've read. So, I mean, eventually the goal is to have guests on my podcast, but I think I got so used to just this format that it's kind of like what I stuck with, but it's definitely something that was like not supposed to be as big as it got. And yeah. Then I was like, oh wait, people actually listen to this. Like, oh no, but I love it. So.
And where can people find you? Have you got sort of social media links and things like that you can share?
So on my Instagram at Haley T. Simon, my shameless self promo, it's always going to be in the bio of my profile. So I just click the link in my bio. It's on Spotify. I'm pretty sure it's on Apple Music. I don't have Apple Music, but the website that I upload it to says Apple Music. So if you have Apple Music, like let me know. So yeah, it's on Spotify and I guess Apple Music.
But Instagram's the way to go. And yeah, no, you are on Apple Music. That's how I listen to it. So there you go. Oh, there's your answer.
And it's so funny because I was like, somebody asked me one day, are you on Apple Music? I'm like, I don't think so. And then I went to the website where I upload all my podcasts and says Apple Music. And I'm like, I'm on Apple Music. But that's good to know now that it works.
Yeah, just some guy in England told me I'm on Apple Music. There you go. That's
yeah.
2021, that's the way it is.
Perfect. No, we love that.
All right. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll discuss some news topics for this week.
So by now, you'll have seen our website, atpsports.net. You're gonna admit, it's pretty awesome. It was brought to you by the team at Data Squared. You can find them on the web, datasq2.co.uk. They are dedicated to bringing you the very best in website design, hosting and security. Their aim is to provide you with the very best package you need to help you spread the word about your business. Data Squared will design and build a website for you, and they'll build it not just for desktop, but for all devices so you can be seen on the move. Data Squared will help you choose your domain, making sure it's relevant to you and your business, and they'll open up an online store for you. They have the tools so you can keep track of customers, their orders, stock, and much, much more. So why not expand your business online today with Data Squared? Visit datasq2.co.uk.
Welcome back to Across the Pond NHL Sports Podcast. So, Chris, sounds like we've got a couple topics to cover this week. The first one being Claude Julien and his status with the Canadiens.
Yeah, so was it Tuesday, Wednesday? Claude Julien and his assistant, Kirk Miller, got the boot from Montreal, which I guess, I mean, depending on who you ask or depending on what you read, is either a surprise or it's not. I mean, personally, I took it as a surprise. You know, I've looked at the standings and looked at how they've played this season. You know, the fact they made the playoffs last year. You know, you'd think it's quite they've done quite well. But, you know, they've kind of dropped off at the moment. I think their win percentage is still 0.500. But yeah, they, you know, they've, I think they only won four of the last 10 before he got sacked, and they spent about 103 million last year, which is the highest ahead of any other team in the NHL. So I guess when you factor those sides of it into it, then actually maybe it's not a surprise. But I mean, looking even further, delving into it, I think the people who are not surprised Claude Julien's gone, but they're surprised that Kirk Muller's gone. He, reading into it, was kind of like the heir apparent. He would be the guy taken over from Julien. And I think that's the kind of the biggest surprise in the story, really. So the guy they've got in is a Dominique Deschamps, who is coached till the end of the season. But you know, listening to the release that's come out, it kind of sounds like it's his job to lose. And yes, it'll just be a case of seeing how he goes. But I mean, again, I'm kind of 50-50 with it. I suppose if you to then step out of Montreal and just look at Canada as a whole, I mean, you know, the Canadian market in terms of hockey is it's pretty insane, isn't it? The kind of the pressure all the Canadian teams must be under. So, you know, you've got that pressure anyway, this season especially. You've got the North Division, so all you're playing is other Canadian teams. So if you're sort of, you know, the front office at the Canadians and, you know, you're losing, you're on this streak and you're losing to other teams who are also Canadian teams, that must hurt that a little bit more as well. And yeah, I just think that intense pressure may have got to them, and they're looking at this as being the season to kind of, to make the change, especially again, if you look at the Canadian division, there's probably only sort of the Maple Leafs in it who you would expect to do well. And then the other sort of three spots are kind of anyone but Ottawa's. To have, I think it's safe to say they were never going to challenge that top four. So I don't know, maybe they were looking at it and thinking, you know, this is the season. If we're going to get into the playoffs, it'll be this season. Especially if next season, you know, touch wood, all things are normal in this world, they'll be back in a division with Tampa Bay, with Boston, with an improving Florida. So yeah, this is probably the season where they thought they've got a chance to go up, and it, you know, they're looking at it. Maybe they're just nipping things in the bud. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not surprised that he was fired. My take on it was maybe the timing. I get it's a condensed season, and you know, the expectations are, like you said, very high. They spent a lot of money in free agency and in the off season, and so their expectation is, you know, to be one of these playoff teams. That being said, I look at the current standings in the North Division, and I really think that Montreal is kind of in solid ground to at least make the playoffs, right? You look at the top four teams, and I think they're pretty much already solidified in that division. Really, the only two that I would say are really out of it are the Canucks and the Senators. Yeah. So the timing of it seemed a bit odd. Yeah, they did lose back-to-back games versus the Senators, and maybe that was just the breaking point, and you know, they wanted better results on the ice.
It's quite interesting, though, because 10 years ago, in 2011, Julien actually took the Boston Bruins to the Stanley Cup Finals. So he is a really good coach in the terms of that he has a lot of experience. But I mean, the problem is, and like you mentioned, losing to the Senators is probably one of the worst things that the Habs could have done, especially, I mean, okay, not to be like roasting the Senators right now, but they're probably one of the worst teams in the NHL currently, without a doubt. And to lose two games to them, and it wasn't even like the games were, I mean, they were kind of close. I mean, final OT and then final shootout, but still it wasn't like something to be proud of. And then yesterday, the Canadians again lost to the Jets 6-3. So the problem right now, I don't think it's necessarily the coaching. I think there's something on the team that's not clicking. So this is one of those moves where I don't necessarily agree with at all. I think that they should have allowed Julian to finish out the season and then evaluate things, because I don't think getting a new coaching staff midway through the season is the best move. And that's for any team out there, unless like there's something that they need to get a new coach for, something, if someone's sick or something happened. But I don't think this was the correct move to do. So.
No. And also I think we, me and Josh have said in the past that, you know, with the COVID rules being what they are in Canada, if you're signing a player from outside Canada, you know, they've got to wait 2 weeks before they can actually do anything on your team. So there's not much that the new coach can do apart from coach what he's already got. Yeah, he's not exactly going to come in and sign a whole bunch of new players. So, yeah, I'm sitting firmly on the fence with this one. Part of me thinks it's a good decision, and, yeah, they've nipped it in the bud and done a good job. And, yeah, the other part thinks, well, yeah, they've got a top coach in charge, and then they've got a highly respected assistant. So maybe they should have just stuck it out with them. I'm firmly on the fence with this one.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like you said, they lost to Winnipeg kind of in a convincing fashion. And you kind of hope that, you know, if you are making this change mid-season and you're putting a whole new coach in, which I believe he doesn't have any NHL head coaching experience, right? He's kind of just been down the lower levels of hockey. But you kind of hope that, hey, maybe that's a spark. Maybe the players that they have on the roster maybe fit his style of coaching a little bit better than Julian's. And, you know, at least the first game, it didn't seem that way. But, yeah, maybe going forward, if they can maybe change their style of play and, you know, improve their game over the next few games, it'll look like a good decision. Henrik Lundqvist this week posted on some social media platforms that he put his pads back on and was facing some shots in net. So good to see him returning to the ice, at least in a very limited fashion. But, you know, following that open heart surgery, he's back, you know, kind of getting some ice time.
Yeah, I mean, it is, I have to admit, I didn't or haven't looked too much at this story. Is he back with the Capitals training, or is he just kind of back in general on the ice? Or
no, he's just back kind of by himself. They said he took faced a few shots, but it's more just he's by himself. He's not with any of the teams. He's not with the Capitals. Right. And he even said himself that any decision regarding his future is going to be some months ahead. But that being said, you know, it's good to see him, you know, getting back, getting active after his open heart surgery. And, you know, obviously, well, wish him well for his recovery. And, you know, hopefully if it's something that he wants to do, if he wants to try and return back to the NHL, I know he's a very passionate hockey player. So maybe that's something he can do in the future.
Yeah, no, it's good seeing him back. I remember when the story first broke and it was like absolutely upsetting to see that, you know, he had this heart problem that no one really knew about. But the good thing is, though, about Henrik Lundqvist is that no matter what decision that he does end up making, he will always be supported. He's one of those players that is a very like competitive player, as you mentioned. So I really do believe that he's going to return. I think that the reason why it's going to take kind of months is to navigate his health, because granted he did have the surgery, but then the recovery. So I think it's going to depend on his health, but I think if he had his everything healed correctly, he's going to definitely be back on the ice for the Caps. But time shall tell. I mean, I hope for his sake, because I actually do like him. Another player who is on a team that I don't like, who I like. It's always the goalies.
Although when you look at sort of, you know, Lundqvist, he is, and I know, you know, officially he left the Capitals, but I don't think he even played the game, did he? You know, I still see him as a New York player. But yeah, I mean, it, kind of what you said, he's that respected, and he's just quite frankly that good that I think it's, if he wants to come back, someone will take him. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Even if it's just to have him in the, you know, in the squad to coach. And I know that was kind of the idea of him going to Washington in the first place, wasn't it? It was kind of take a back seat, but to coach the younger guy there. So, I mean, even if it's just that kind of role, yeah, if he's coming back, it'll be because he wants to. And I think there'll be a whole list of teams who are out to get him. And, you know, I don't know, if he wants to come back and he wants to change his scenery on the West Coast, you've got a team up in Seattle who are starting out. They could do a lot worse and have that kind of experience there. But yeah, like you said, wish him all the best, and just an absolute legend who, yeah, he deserves the ending in the game that he wants to get. And I hope he gets that by going somewhere and ending the right way, definitely. Well, it's kind of a hockey slash political thriller kind of story. So we'll sort of start it off. So Panarin, Artemi Panarin, he's taken a leave of absence from the New York Rangers. And this all comes in the response to a story being reported in Russia, which alleged that he had a physical altercation with a woman in Riga, Latvia in 2011. Now, the allegations are being made by his former coach, Andrei Nazarov, who was his coach at, and okay, let me try and pronounce this right, Vityaz Poldosk in the KHL. And that was during the time when the incident was meant to have taken place. Now, no official complaint was made at the time. There was nothing reported. It was nothing was mentioned at all until recently, where this coach, Nazarov, came out and mentioned it. Now, the kind of political aspect on top of it is Panarin is a very vocal critic of Putin, and he's a supporter of the opposition leader, Alexei Navalny. And Nazarov, the coach of this other team who came out of the allegation, is a supporter of Putin and has in the past criticised Panarin for the negative comments he's made about Putin. So I know a lot of people sort of come out, a lot of players at the time, and the Rangers came out straight away and issued a statement expressing their support for the player. The players have come out and said, that's absolutely rubbish, nothing happened. There's no official police report that was, you know, that happened at the time. So it does sound a bit fishy in terms of this coach kind of maybe spinning a bit of a yarn. And from what I understand, he has got previous from some outspoken comments. But yeah, so he's gone over to Russia. From what the Rangers have said, it's kind of up to him when he comes back. It sounds like he was kind of spooked for his family's sake over in Russia. So he's kind of gone there and sort of seeing what the situation is over there. And I guess he'll be back when he's back, and hopefully it's all well. But yeah, it must be a horrible story to kind of have around you, and to have to make that kind of flight out and, you know, leave your job of work and your place of work to go and sort a problem like this out. It must be quite stressful. So yeah, well, I guess that's kind of a moving story. We'll see where it goes, but I can't imagine he'll be back for the Rangers this season, at least. Maybe ready for the next season, but yeah, that's kind of the story that sort of piqued my interest this week, definitely.
Yeah, you got to hope for his sake that, you know, things kind of get quickly resolved there. You know, those are serious allegations that he's facing. And like you said, you know, there was never any report of this at the time when these allegations were said to have happened. And it's kind of just brought up out of the blue. And like you said, I think it could be very political motivated here. And it's just a tough situation for him to be in, like you said, with his family back home, and, you know, you see all the political issues that happen over there in Russia. It's got to be pretty taxing on here to deal with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's interesting about the story, though, because the first thing that I noticed when kind of doing research into the story is that there wasn't any victim that spoke up. And usually when you have allegations like this, on every single allegation, domestic violence or any type, always should be taken seriously no matter what. But in this case, it's interesting because there really isn't another person saying he did this to me. It's been reported by a third party, basically. So I believe my gut instinct is telling me that this is politically motivated completely, and that this alleged event didn't happen. But I think that the NHL needs to investigate as well, because right now back in Russia, I mean, I don't want any bad beef with Russia right now, but right now I'm like, how are they going to take this in Russia? Are they going to really try to just to ruin his life? Or will this be fair? And as I said, I'm half Russian. So like Russia, like you're cool, but like, I don't know if I trust it. So I hope the NHL protects its own players. Cause at the end of the day, he is a player of the NHL and they should be taking this just as seriously. And it's an interesting fact though, that I found out when I was doing research, the NHL is the only, okay. So like for me, the major sports leagues are football, baseball, basketball, and the NHL here. You're the only league out of the four that does not have anything against domestic violence and what to do. So.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't know that. And I was doing some research and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I'm like, hockey, you need to get on it. So hopefully they take it seriously, which I think they will. But
yeah, especially after this story. I mean, yeah, I'm no detective, but reading the kind of the different aspects to it, yeah, I'm kind of, if I was a betting man, I'd bet on the allegations being false and it being politically motivated. But certainly it's a kind of story that at least highlights the points you'd made, which, to be honest, I didn't know anything about. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that is surprising. I never realized that the NHL didn't actually have a policy in place for that. I know they've dealt with suspensions on that subject in the past, but yeah, very interesting. You think that the NHL should get up and at least put a standard policy in place for that, yeah, because very serious allegations like this, they need to be dealt with accordingly. And like you said, I think if you're looking at the story, I mean, this particular case does seem to, it might just be politically motivated, but to have a policy in place to deal with this in the future, I think would be a good thing for the NHL to address. Mm-hmm. All right, so that'll do it for the topics this week. We're going to take a quick break, and coming up, we'll discuss kind of our picks and how those transpired over the week and cover the divisions and their standings.
Okay, so now we'll take a look at the standings. Okay, if we start with the Central first. So looking at the Central, the Panthers are still flying pretty high. Well, flying very high. They're top at the moment after 19 games, 28 points. Closely followed by Tampa Bay on 27 points with one game less, 18. The Blackhawks are continuing to do well, albeit with 21 games. Followed by the Hurricanes, the 1 point behind them. And then 4 points behind them, you've got my sort of Stanley Cup dark horse team, the Blue Jackets, after 21 games, they're in fifth. And then below them, you've got the Dallas All-Stars, the Predators, and sitting rock bottom, the Red Wings. I mean, I guess a slight caveat with the Dallas All-Stars, yes, they're third from bottom, but also they've only played 15 games as opposed to other teams in that division who have played 21 games. So kind of a false position there, but certainly taking a look at the top two, the Florida teams are kind of are sort of putting their line in the sand and having a run at it.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like kind of top heavy in the division, right? So Florida, Tampa Bay, both up towards the top. Both of them have been playing very, very well all season. And like you said, the whole COVID environment gets a little funky when you start looking at the standings. You almost have to look at it almost as like a points percentage, because I think that's how the NHL is going to decide it if they can't reschedule all the games, right? So they might not all play the full schedule. But yeah, you look at a team like Chicago, right now sitting third in points, but they also have, played the most games in that division. Whereas Nashville is, they played six games less than Chicago and they're sitting, a lot further down in terms of points. But once they start making up those games, if they can get on the hot streak, they can start jumping teams pretty quickly. Yeah, my surprise this week has really been your dark horse, Chris, the Blue Jackets and their play of late. That they just, I don't know, they're just not looking good the last, week or two.
Yeah, it's weird because, obviously they made that sign in Roslovic and Lane, and that's a trade where I think they have won that trade. And, I think Lane's got 10 points and 11 and Roslovic's got 12 and 14. So, they've got players bringing in the points, but yeah, it's just that they don't seem to be doing it, and they've definitely had a bad week. But then again, they're only 4 points behind that fourth spot, which is all they'll need to progress further. And yeah, it's the Dallas All-Stars. I mean, they've played 15 games. You could look at them, and I don't know if you guys do the same. Whenever I look at my team and there's a deficit, I sort of do the calculation in my head. But whenever I do the calculation, I assume that they're going to win those games. So
yeah,
if you were to look at the Dallas, you know, you'd look at them and go, right, well, you know what? They're 5-6 games behind, you know, do the calculation. Oh, they can be top, no problem. But in this kind of condensed season, they're going to be making up those games in quite a short space of time. And I don't think they're going to get the results they want from those games. So I could even see the Dallas Stars not even making the top four, to be quite frank with you. The Blackhawks, I mean, I mentioned last week, I haven't really paid much attention to them this year. And I kind of looked into them more this week. And yeah, obviously they've played 3 games more, but you know, they've got Patrick Kane, who's absolutely on fire. I mean, he's had 10 goals, 21 assists. And as of Friday, he had 63 points in the season. So they're not a one-man team, certainly. But, you know, without Patrick Kane, then they would definitely struggle. And maybe they'll sneak in. I don't know. I hope not, because I think they'll sneak in above the Blue Jackets. I think it'll be between them and maybe Dallas, to get that kind of fourth spot. But it's a hard league to call. What do you reckon, Hayley?
So this is interesting, right? Because I was not expecting the Panthers to do as well as they are. And currently they are leading the Central Division. But I was a huge Blue Jackets supporter going into this season. So my hope is that I don't think the Canes are going to be as successful. I see the Blue Jackets taking over that fourth spot. And then the rest being the way that it is. So I'd see it being the Panthers, Lightning, Blackhawks, and Blue Jackets being the top four teams. I am disappointed, though, in the Stars. I mean, considering that they were in the Stanley Cup Finals last year, you would expect them to be a stronger team than they already are. And I know that they couldn't play in the beginning because of COVID. But even now, only winning 6 games and losing 5 is just not an acceptable record for a team that was just in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, they have been kind of surprising. Like you said, delayed start with COVID, and then more recently, the weather down in Texas has kind of caused them to miss some games. But at the same time, they started off very hot when they came back from the COVID delay. And then just since then, like you said, losing 5 of 6, they've been playing, you know, pretty bad.
Right, so if we take a look at the East Division now, you've got Boston, 18 games played, they're top of 24 points. You got Haley's non-favorite team, the Washington Capitals, in second place after 19 games on joint 24 points. The Islanders, who we'll go on to in a bit, I'm sure, they've kind of made a late push and sort of gone into third place. Then Haley's favourite, the Flyers, fourth. Quite impressive, actually, looking at it now. You know, they've played 16 games, so less than the teams above them, and yet they're still in that fourth position. Penguins in fifth, and then you've got Rangers, Devils, and the Sabres bringing up the rear. So, I mean, going back to sort of the Islanders, I mean, I think when I first sort of started doing this pod with Josh, and then a few weeks afterwards, we were both sort of quite surprised, weren't we, about how they weren't really doing it this year, you know, with Trotz and the fact that they've always been a kind of, you know, they're not really a sexy team, but they're quite solid, and they, you know, they do what they do and they do it well. But yeah, they certainly sort of pulled out of the bag recently. You know, they've won their last 2 games and they beat Boston 7-2.
That's right. That was my pick of the week last week. So that
was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was. I wanted to see, like you were talking, you know, like with the Islanders kind of turning things around after their slow start, wanted to see if they could keep that up versus the, you know, the top team in the division. And they certainly played very, very well, winning that 7-2. So it was convincing fashion.
Yeah, and they've won, was it 7 in the last 10 in regulation? So whatever sort of bad issues they had at the start that needed ironing out, well, I think, yeah, they've definitely ironed them out. And I think they can take, I mean, they're only 1 point off the top and they've played pretty much the same amount of games as well. So who knows? You could even see them sitting nice and pretty at the top and being the best team in New York again. Who knows? But I mean, yeah. Haley, what do you reckon of the Flyers this year? I mean, you're 4th, 16 games. It's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, while it's not bad, it's definitely been frustrating to say the least. Again, out of those 16 games, they lost 5 to the Bruins, which isn't sitting well with anybody that like the Flyers at all. It's honestly one of those things where it's like the Flyers, they can be so good. They can be so on fire and so on point. And then the next day they can be absolute garbage and it looks like they've never played hockey before. And I said that out of love, but the Flyers currently, they have to face a lot because of the players that were out due to COVID. So, I mean, I understand them losing the game, the outdoor game at Lake Tahoe to the Bruins. I get how they lost because again, most of the players couldn't play, but again, they have full strength and all their healthy players are able to play. They still lose to Boston. So it's like they need to get their act together. And this is the reason why I am not saying that they're going to definitely win because the division nonetheless they have a 25% going to the Stanley Cup, which we talked about. But this is why I'm not all in on the Flyers. I love them. I support them. But they're just not playing like a Stanley Cup winning team. And there's teams that can outplay them. And that's been shown already. So I will say, though, because of their unfortunate situations with COVID, they're doing pretty well. As a non-Flyers fan looking at it, I'd be like, oh, they're doing pretty well. But as a Flyers fan who is used to the disappointment, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I have kind of the same type of criticism with the Avalanche at times. It seems like, you know, they just need to find consistency, right? They can play very well, but then, like you said, another night, they just play just way off. And looking at it from this, it's kind of the same thing. They just need to find some consistency with their game. But I do have to say, just looking at, you know, where they're at in the standings, they've got very solid footing. And if they do find that consistency, I think that they're going to be able to vie for that top spot in the division.
Yeah. So going back to what you were saying about the consistency, I'm finding that with a lot of teams this season. I mean, if you look at the standings and you look at the streaks that teams are on, most of them are kind of one, lost one. There's not really many teams who are kind of on a hot losing streak or a hot winning streak. And, you know, I guess a lot of it can be put down to this weird season we've got with a game every other day. And especially, I guess, when they're playing the same team 3 or 4 games in a row. But yeah, I'm definitely finding that a lot more this season. And it definitely seems to be a lot more inconsistent. Yeah, I mean, apart from, you know, teams like Detroit and Ottawa, they kind of consistently lose, although, you know, we'll go on to it when we speak about the North. Ottawa have had a good run this week. But yeah, I mean, sticking with this division, I think it's quite clear, isn't it, that Bruins, Capitals, and I think probably the Islanders are the kind of the top three teams. And then for me, I think it'll be, yeah, between the two Pennsylvania teams to get that full spot. Obviously, I hope it's the Penguins. Haley hopes it's the Flyers, but I think it'd be between one of the two. I mean, yeah. If the Flyers make it, I think they've got a better chance at the Stanley Cup than the Penguins. I think if the Penguins make it, then it's, yeah, they'll be out in the first round, probably to Washington again, like every season.
I guess it's one of those things like we'll wait and we'll see. But I mean, I don't know. It could go both ways. I mean, I'm hoping that the Flyers, but if the Penguins do make it, it's going to be like the bubble hockey last year where they got eliminated right away. So I feel like it's going to be the same thing. And then I think the Flyers can put up a little bit more of a fight, like you said. But again, who knows, because they disappoint me all the time. So we'll see.
All right, moving on to the North Division now. Really no shakeup here at all. You know, we talked about Claude Julien getting fired from Montreal, but the standings really kind of the same as they were last week. Toronto has really started running away with the top spot. They're sitting, you know, with 32 points. Edmonton has put on quite a run this week. They've won 5 straight. We talked about, you know, not a whole lot of streaks going on, but here's one. And then Winnipeg's been playing very well of late, and they're finding themselves in third place with 25 points. Montreal's holding on to that fourth spot right now, but they're followed by Calgary, only 2 points behind. And then we have Vancouver and Ottawa, which I would say they're kind of out of that playoff picture right now.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, I said literally 2 minutes ago that there's not many streaks, but if you actually have a look at this division, this does seem to be the more consistent in terms of how teams are doing. And I mean, for my money, I mean, yeah, I support a team in the West, but this is my best division by far. It just seems to be the most fun. Whenever you catch a game on, it's just, and I mean, I guess it would be right because it's, yeah, it's in Canada. It's like the national number one sport of the country. Every game is like a grudge match, rivalry kind of game of each other. So the pressure just must be absolutely insane. And yeah, I mean, if you look at it as well, just looking at the different fan bases, I think every single fan base for every team in the Canadian division, apart from Ottawa, at the start of the season, probably said, oh, you know what? We've got a chance at the Stanley Cup this season. You know, Vancouver, at the start of the season, they were quite sort of hotly picked, weren't they, to kind of make a good run at it and make it maybe to the playoffs. They've got a good young team. Hasn't worked this season, but that's certainly what they were saying at the start. Calgary always kind of there and thereabouts. Yeah, same. And, you know, we've spoken about Montreal, same with them. So, yeah, this is my division. I love this division. Every game is just an absolute humdinger. And yeah, you know, going back to what I said a couple of weeks ago and what I said last week as well, it'd be an absolute travesty if McDavid and Draisaitl didn't make it into the playoffs again. And thankfully, that probably won't happen this year. I mean, the top two teams are kind of pulling away, aren't they? And they've won, like you said, five on the bounce. And they're just doing their thing. I mean, they don't have the best defense. They don't have the best goalkeeping, but do you need to with those two? I mean, right. I think McDavid's got something like 40 points this season so far. Draisaitl's got 34 points. Yeah, I mean, God, I think I could do a job in goal and they'd still win because they've got those two up front. So, yeah, I'm absolutely loving this division. This is the division I look out for the most, other than the West, of course.
Yeah, fun seeing all the scoring that happens in this division, yeah, for sure. And like you said, I think, you know, we're starting to see like the teams really kind of settle in. I think Toronto's going to finish, you know, they're going to keep that number one spot. Really, it's just going to be, I think, between Edmonton and Winnipeg, what order they're going to finish, two and three. And I really think Montreal's got that fourth spot locked up so long as they, you know, can play, you know, roughly 500 hockey from here on out. They'll be all right, so.
Yeah, and even like, you know, Ottawa, I mean, no one ever expected them to do particularly well. No one expected them to be in the top four, but people definitely expected more of them. And I kind of feel like we're now seeing the Senators that people may, certainly I expected to see anyway. You know, they're looking like a good young team, which is what they are. You know, that's Stützle, 19 years old. He looks like he's a good player. I think him and maybe Lafreniere at New York are the kind of only, you know, draft picks, the latest draft picks that seem to be sort of playing regular hockey. He looks like a good player and will be a brilliant player for the future. Brady Tkachuk as well. I mean, I've got this written down. In the past seven games, he scored five goals, has 7 points. He's had two fights, one power play goal and one game-winning goal. So, yeah, he's playing at the team at the bottom, but he's having the time of his life. And I think win or lose, they just seem like quite a good fun team to watch and follow. And, you know, I think they could be a good pick for two or three years down the line. It's just it's a really good fun division.
No, this is a really interesting division though, because while the Leafs have been on top, it's funny, besides the Senators and I guess besides the Canucks, between the Flames, Canadian Jets and Oilers, it's definitely been really interesting to see how they all compete against each other. The Senators have done absolutely horrible. So it's one of those things where I look at the Senators and I'm like, you've only won 7 and you've lost 14. Not doing good at all. I mean, they only have 15 points when the Maple Leafs have 32. So it's a huge difference between the two teams, first and last place. But this is a fun division. I always said Canadian hockey, when it's just the Canadian teams, will always be more competitive because, again, this is like their sport. So definitely very interesting to say the least.
I think Chris, your pick last week was out of this division.
I picked Jets Canadians, the Thursday night game. So as we kind of said after talking about Claude Julien, Jets won that game 6-3. Canadians, they were 3-1 up, but they allowed 5 unanswered goals in the second and third period, which, yeah, it's not exactly great. It was their new coach's head coaching debut, and like you said, it's his head coaching debut in the NHL. I'm not even sure if he's actually coached at AHL level. So yeah, that's quite a rough first game for him. So yeah, it's kind of, yeah, four losses on the bounce for them now. So yeah, that was my pick. I kind of expected more from the Canadians, but obviously I picked that thinking they would have Claude Julien and Kirk Muller. So as we were saying earlier, I'm a bit of a curse when I come to picking games. I either pick games that get called off for COVID, called off for hot weather, or there's a coaching change. So I feel sorry for whoever manages and plays for the teams I've called for next week's games.
Well, so let's move on to the West then. You know, I guess not really too much of a shakeup here in that, you know, we still have the top four teams. We have Vegas at the top. Minnesota's moved up a little bit. They're talking about one of the streaks. They've won five in a row as well. So one of the very few streaks that we see in the NHL right now. St. Louis moved down to third. Colorado at fourth. And then we have LA, Arizona, San Jose, and Anaheim. So talking about, you know, going from the north where you have a huge spread between the top and the bottom, we go back into the west where there's really not that much of a points difference. You know, you take 23 with Vegas at the top and 16 with the Ducks at the bottom, actually tied with San Jose with 16. So this division, I think, a little bit more competitive, and you see, like we were talking about, you see a lot more of these splits here where, you know, each team where they play, you know, back to back, it's kind of a one team wins one and then who didn't win it the next time wins the second game. And yeah, we're seeing that. I think Vegas, you know, with 16 games being played with 23 points, they've been very good. And we're talking, Haley, with, you know, your pick for the Stanley Cup, I think that they should still be one of the favorites for that. I you know, watched them this week playing the Avalanche, and Chris, I think that was your game of the week. And just watching how Vegas plays, they're a very solid team. And you got to look at Marc-Andre Fleury and the year that he's putting up this year. I mean, he looks back to his, you know, really good form. He's making incredible saves and he's playing at a very high level.
Yeah. And I mean, looking at this, like I said, it's ridiculously tight. For me, I'd say the Kings, they're the surprise kind of package for me. I mean, they beat the Coyotes and St. Louis in back-to-back double games, which, yeah, I certainly wasn't expecting that much from them, but they're looking like quite a good team and quite worrying from my point of view. I mean, personally, I think, you know, you support Colorado. They're, for me, one of the three teams who are kind of a shoo-in to go up, whereas me, being a Coyotes fan, I support one of the teams who are kind of hoping to get that full spot. So what I'm kind of banking on really is teams like the Avalanche and the Golden Knights and the Blues to beat teams like the Wild and the Kings. It's not really happening. But, you know, that being said, I mean, we're six in the league and yet we're only 2 points off the top. So we're not doing too bad ourselves, the Coyotes. I'm surprised the gap's so small between the Sharks, the Ducks and the top. The Sharks especially, I mean, they were awful, but yeah, I don't know. Are they that bad if they're only 7 points off the top of the whole division? Maybe I'm sort of being a bit harsh towards them.
Look at the games played with them. They played 20, right? And so they have 16 points. So they're still, yeah, you know, if you look at the point share, they are definitely down at the bottom. So maybe a little misleading in when you look at just the point differential. But yeah, like you're talking, I think you have to look at the top three teams, you know, like Vegas, St. Louis, and Colorado, I would think are a shoe-in. And then I think that four spot, and I guess, you know, Minnesota's thrown a wrench into this with how well they've been playing, but that four spot would be between Minnesota, LA, and your Coyotes.
Yeah, and we're kind of not helping ourselves much at the moment. I mean, we had two back-to-back games in the week against the Ducks where we're 3-0 down in both those games and then won both of them 4-3. And I believe that's only the eighth time in NHL history, maybe ninth time, that's happened. It's certainly the first time it's happened with back-to-back games against the same team. But it's, yeah, only the eighth or ninth time it's happened with two being 3-0 down, winning 4-3, two games in a row. And then, yeah, I mean, we can get away with that against the Ducks, but then we did it again last night, Friday night, against the Avalanche. And, yeah, there's no way we're going to be 3-0 down against you guys and then get anything from that. So hopefully we've learned our lesson for the game happening this evening.
They tried making it three in a row, but I started that comeback, I think, a little too late. They did it with, less than 2 minutes. They scored the two goals. So they made it interesting at the end. That is for sure. Let's talk our picks for the week. I'll start off. I'm going to pick out of the West, and I'm going to go, we're talking about that fourth spot and the fight for that fourth spot. I'm going to pick the Kings versus the Wild. The Wild have been playing very, very well in the last few games. They're on that 5-game winning streak, but the Kings have also been playing pretty good. This matchup intrigues me just in that, both of these teams are kind of in that playoff spot, and let's see how they do.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, the Wild, they've kind of thrown a wrench in it, haven't they? And well, I guess so have LA, actually. They're a lot better than we considered them to be. So, yeah, I think that could be a... and is that a single game this week, or will that be a back-to-back? Or...
Yeah, this one's just a single game this week. So just the one. One of the very few.
Yeah, so the game I've picked, if I start with the Central... I've kind of buy one, get two extra free. So I've picked Blackhawks versus the Lightning. So that's actually 3 games in 3 days. So they'll be playing each other on the Friday, Saturday and Sunday. So with these games, they've played each other twice in the first 2 games of the season. Lightning winning both of those games with an aggregate of 10-3. However, since then, we sort of said Blackhawks have kind of started to get on a bit of a roll. They've done a lot better than certainly I thought they would do. They've played more games, so maybe it's a false position, but I think this will be a good kind of yardstick to find out if that is the case. Like I said, Patrick Kane's on fire, so he'll be he'll I'm sure do a good job against them. I still think Lightning will get two, if not the whole, all three of these games. For me, it's just a chance to see how good the Blackhawks really are. To see if this is a false position and to see if, maybe they're a team to take a bit more seriously.
Yeah.
I actually have a pick of the game. It's actually for tonight, on Friday night. It's going to be the Stars and Lightning. And the reason why I chose this game is these are the two teams that played in the Stanley Cup last year, with the Lightning winning, of course. So I think that these are two teams that are very competitive against each other now due to the fact that they both were competing in the Stanley Cup together. So it will be interesting to see how they match up. But talking statistically, the Lightning is a better team than the Stars are. So I don't doubt that the Lightning are going to win. But again, it'll be interesting to see if the Stars get more competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good game to watch. Like you said, the rematch of the Stanley Cup Finals, and maybe the Stars kind of get a spark from seeing that team again. So I'll cover one more game out of the North. This week, we've got Toronto and Edmonton lining up against each other. So the number one and two teams, I think it's going to be a very fun game to watch. Edmonton playing very well of late, winning their 5 in a row. They've won 8 out of the last 10 versus Toronto, who's been very, very hot as well. With Austin Matthews, putting up all the points. They won 7 out of the last 10. So two teams playing incredibly well. Be interested to see how Edmonton plays against Toronto and see if they can start making some headway in trying to claim that number one spot in the division.
Yeah, I don't know what the result will be, obviously, but I imagine it'll be high scoring at least. Defense just doesn't seem to exist in that division at all this season. And then you've got, like you said, you've got Austin Matthews, who he's just on fire at the moment. And then, obviously Connor McDavid and Draisaitl for the Oilers. So, yeah, who knows who's going to win that? But I guess, there's going to be a lot of goals. I'll say that now. They'll probably be boring 1-0 games, but a lot of goals there, a lot of goals.
Yeah, I would think it'd be a very entertaining match, but who knows? Maybe actually see some defense show up.
Against those players? Oh, I would not count on that at all. And then... So the game I've gone for the East, again, I've done another sort of buy one, get an extra 2-3. I've gone for the Flyers-Penguins series. So that's going to be 3 games spread out over 4 days. So again, like my other pick, they played each other twice in the first 2 games of the season. Haley's Flyers winning both of them. I mean, my interest for this is there's a few reasons. Obviously, Penguins are a team. You kind of got me into hockey, so I always look out for them anyway. So a Penguins versus Flyers series is always a series I look for, a game I look for. But also, I'm kind of looking at Malkin. He seems to be improving after his... I mean, I think I said a few weeks ago, it's like someone had put a Malkin shirt on and a helmet and kind of disguised himself. It did not look like him on the ice at all. But he's certainly improving. You know, he's had a slow start. I think he has a point in 7 of his last 9 games as well, whereas he only had 3 in the first 8 games with only 1 goal. So for me, it's kind of I picked these games mainly just to see how he is and how he gets on, because if Penguins are going to, you know, make that top four, and then if they make that top four progress further, they'll need him to be on top form and, you know, playing a team from your same state, your rivals, if that doesn't sort of get you going, then nothing probably will. So that's my pick for the East.
And then my last pick is actually, it's interesting though, this is in the West, and it's two teams that I guess you wouldn't really consider to be big rivals, but it's the Avalanche and the Sharks that they're playing. And for some reason, I have no idea why, but I always find whenever these two teams play against each other, it's probably one of the best hockey games I've seen. And I don't know why that is. There's really no like reasoning behind it, but it's always the most intriguing to me. So whenever they play, I'm expecting a good game. I'm expecting a close game. And again, Avalanche are significantly better than San Jose Sharks, but it's, as I said, weird teams to be like, this is my pick, but it works. It really does.
Yeah, you're right. For whatever reason, the San Jose Sharks are always a challenge for the Avalanche. It seems like you said, they're always a very close game. There's really never really a blowout one way or the other. So that very interesting game there to watch.
Yeah, the West Division is, we just said, didn't we? The points difference between top and bottom is so minimal. And yeah. Like I said, I'm going to look out. That's one game I wouldn't have thought to look out for, but yeah, that could go anyway. So I'll be watching that one.
And talking about watching games, Chris, I think that you had some UK friendly games coming up this week that anybody over in that time zone can watch.
Yeah. So to kind of recap, we did this last week for the first time, and I think it's quite a good idea. So over in the UK, there's a few different ways where you can watch hockey. You can either pay for the subscription on the NHL TV app. You can watch it through BT Sports. They show the odd games. You can also watch it through Premier Sports, which costs, I think it's about £15 a month. But then there's also a channel called Free Sports, which, as the name suggests, totally free. So what I've kind of done is I've kind of looked at what games are showing on this free channel that are UK friendly times. So what I kind of consider to be friendly times. So kind of anything before sort of 11 o'clock PM. After that, you should be in bed. You shouldn't even be thinking about hockey. So the three games I've got, there's one on the 20th, so the day this podcast gets released, the 28th of February, 8 PM. It's Columbus at Nashville. And then next weekend, so the 6th of March, you've got Florida at Nashville at 7 PM. And then the 7th of March at 7:30 p.m., you've got Tampa at Chicago. So if you're a UK-based Nashville fan, I can't imagine there's many of them over here, but if you are, you're laughing. You've got two games over 2 days to look out for next week. But yeah, so I'll be mentioning it every week, sort of whatever UK-friendly time games they are, which you can just watch free of charge. So yeah, find them on Free Sports.
Well, very good. That'll conclude it here for this week at NHL Sports Podcast. Haley, thank you again for joining us. It was a very fun discussion with you today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being on and talking hockey with you guys. It was so much fun. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So you can find us on Twitter at ATP Sports Pod, on Instagram at ATP Sports Network, or email us at NHL@ATPSports.net. And remember, subscribe, rate, and review wherever you find your podcasts from. You've been listening to Across the Pond NHL Podcast, part of the Across the Pond Sports Network. See you next week.